and he leaned on the shoulder of an officer who, with his hand on his sword, had watched the scenes in the Buitenhof with eager curiosity, very natural in a military man, until his companion drew him away with him. On arriving at the square of the Hochstadt, the man with the sallow face pushed the other behind an open shutter, from which corner he himself began to survey the balcony of the town hall. At the savage yells of the mob, the window of the town hall opened, and a man came forth to address the people. "Who is that on the balcony?" asked the young man, glancing at the orator. "It is the deputy Beaufelt," replied the officer. "What sort of a man is he? Do you know anything of him?"
"An honest man. At least I believe so, Monseigneur."
Hearing this character given of Beaufelt, the young man showed signs of such a strange disappointment and evident dissatisfaction that the officer could not but remark it, and therefore added, "At least people say so, Monseigneur. I cannot say anything about it myself, as I have no personal acquaintance with Mynheer Beaufelt."
"An honest man," repeated he who was addressed as Monseigneur.
"Do you mean to say that he is an honest man, brave homme, or a brave one, brave?"
"Ah, Monseigneur must excuse me. I would not presume to draw such a fine distinction in the case of a man whom, I assure your highness once more, I know only by sight."
"If this Beaufelt is an honest man," his highness continued, "he will give to the demand of these furibund petitioners a very queer reception." The nervous quiver of his hand, which moved on the shoulder of his companion as the fingers of a player on the keys of a harpsichord, betrayed his burning impatience, so ill concealed at certain times, and particularly at that moment, under the icy and somber expression of his face. The chief of the deputation of the burghers was then heard addressing an interpellation to Mynheer Beaufelt, whom he requested to let know where the other deputies, his colleagues, were.
"Gentlemen," Beaufelt repeated for a second time, "I assure you that in this moment I am here alone with Mynheer d'Asperen, and I cannot take any resolution on my own responsibility."
"The order! We want the order!" cried several thousand voices. Mynheer Beaufelt wished to speak, but his words were not heard, and he was only seen moving his arms in all sorts of gestures, which plainly showed that he felt his position to be desperate. When at last he saw that he could not make himself heard, he turned round toward the open window and called Mynheer d'Asperen. The latter gentleman now made his appearance on the balcony, where he was saluted with shouts even more energetic than those with which 10 minutes before his colleague had been received. This did not prevent him from undertaking the difficult task of haranguing the mob, but the mob preferred forcing the guard of the States, which, however, offered no resistance to the sovereign people, to listen to the speech of Mynheer d'Asperen. "Now then," the young man coolly remarked, whilst the crowd was rushing into the principal gate of the town hall,